in Shreve's Kenton, Ohio. And for those of you that were able to make it this morning, if we learn nothing else from this morning and Thursday night, we learn that there is power of life and death in the tongue. And things can be spoken into existence. So, I know she's probably watching this right now, so I gotta give her a hard time. I ain't really heard a whole lot yet, so they must be having a really good time. So, but we're gonna have a great service. Pastor Jared's gonna be bringing a great message, and we're gonna go ahead and pray and step right into worship. So, Father God, I just thank you for the service, Lord God. I thank you that the gates of heaven are open for us today, Lord God, that as we step into worship, Lord, that you just begin to touch each and every single person, Lord God, and that this is going to be a year where things start to happen, change, and move for each of them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Excited to worship you with this morning. I want you to put your sights on Jesus this morning.
There is no shadow that could ever come or come your light. There is no rival that could ever stand against your might. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won. Oh, we've already won. There is no weapon that could ever stand against our mind. There is no army, come on this morning, with the power to conquer truth. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already won. Come on, let's sing that again. There is no weapon. There is no weapon. Always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already won. Show me one thing he can do. Show me a mountain he can move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
Show me one.
that cadence again like we already had spoken about on Thursday. That cadence, that drum, that beat that's been set before us. Come on.
And all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. Oh, victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break.
Come on, stay there.
And all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. Oh, victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. All of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. Oh, victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. All of my fear I will turn into praise. I'll shake off despair as I sing out your name. Oh, victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain.
Just ask to bend,
magnify the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We just worship your name, God. God, we lift you up, the King of Kings.
Blood ran down.
Jesus has overcome. Declare, come on, sing it again.
it's your nature. You bring joy to the brokenhearted, hope to the one to the lost. God, it's your nature. There is no desert that your strength can run to. There are no ruins that your
situations. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Redeemer, the Healer, the King of Kings. Come on, it's just in my spirit this morning. He's the King of Kings. Don't let anything else rule your life this morning, because He is the King. And you restore them. God, those hurtful places, and you heal them. God, and that you heal sickness and disease still today. God, we just thank you that you are still the healer. God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I thank you. And God, I just pray that you touch all those secret places today. God, places that people have maybe never even said a word about. God, that you just touch and you restore, you heal, you deliver. And God, I speak to relationships. God, I just call that you restore. God, whether that's between a husband and wife or parents and kids or siblings or however that works, God, we just call for a restoration. A restoration right now in Jesus' name. And a peace. God, I pray for a peace to come over your people. And a confidence that we have in what your word says and how to live out our days. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's just stay right there. Let's not move out of this too quickly. The presence of God is here. We're going to give him another moment to work. So let's keep our faith extended. Let's just keep our minds on him for a second. Everybody, just take a moment right now. Just lift your hands. Just cry out to your Heavenly Father. There are places where there are disappointments, where there are hurts, where there are wounds. And I believe every one of us at some point in time or another have experienced them emotionally, mentally, spiritually. You know, as we're singing this song, the Holy Spirit was impressing upon my heart to just give you all a moment to allow him to come in and touch, as Linda was praying, those some of those secret places. Some of those, when an animal is wounded, typically it tries to shield that. And we're not animals or anything, but sometimes we have this ability that if we have a wound in our heart, we try to shield it and protect it and don't let anything get into it, even the things that can help us. When it's time to let it be open to the air and to let, you know, the peroxide or the cleaning agent, you know, or the bandages or the process of healing to begin, sometimes we don't allow that to happen. And right here, right now in this house this morning, God is moving. He is here to touch those hurts, those wounds, those disappointments, those secret places that need a touch from him, that need to begin a healing process, to not go through another year hurting, struggling, holding back, being fearful or insecure, but to let God have those places and to let him perform a surgical operation inside your heart, inside your spirit, and to begin to heal and to begin to allow you to forgive and to allow you to have peace and to allow you to be able to move on to deeper places in him. Because you may be hurting yourself more than what you're hurting anybody else, more than what you're actually hurting on the inside. You could be holding yourself up from being able to go forward. So I want you right now to just take a moment as Linda just sings through that bridge or chorus or whatever it is, for you to cry out to God and to give those over to him, and for you to take the step of faith right now to begin that healing process.
That your streams can run to. There are no ruins that your love won't make new. You tell the wasteland that it will bloom again. 'Cause it's your nature. You will restore the earth.
thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you have begun a work in every person's heart, God. And everyone that reached out to you in faith, every one of you that opened themselves up to you, God, and asking you, God, to begin to heal, to begin to allow forgiveness, and begin to allow peace and restoration, and begin to allow just a fresh new beginning, a new season, a new day, God. I pray, God, that today would earmark a time of transition, a start of a new beginning, God. Lord God, and they would be healed, that things, that dead things, that harmful things, wounded things would break off of them in Jesus' name, God, and they would be renewed and restored and set free and allowed to run, God, after a deeper place with you, God. And I thank you for that. We just give you praise, God, and we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning for what he's already doing. Amen and amen. All right. So you are stuck with me the rest of the morning. But it is great to be with you. It's always a joy. It's always an honor to be here in this pulpit. Just want to give, before we go any further, give our pastors some honor and just want to thank them for entrusting myself and all the other people who come here to bring you guys a word, and also just pray for them that they have rest, that they have healing, that they have strength, vision, what they need to start this new year. So I just want to just have us pray real quick over them. So let's do that. Father God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for our pastors, Pastor Phil and Regina. God, we just honor them. We just thank you for them. Pray, God, for protection upon the rest of their vacation. And I pray most importantly, God, for rest. God, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, God, healing, Lord God. The blessing of God would overtake them as they are at this time together, that you would strengthen them and renew them and give them, God, all the vision and all the blessings that they need, God, to be able to run in this new year and to be able to lead us and pastor us and shepherd us. God, we thank you for that. And we just ask you to bring them home safely, God, and again, bless their time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, church. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to take up our, actually, you know what? We have announcements. But the announcement sheet appears to be MIA. So we're going to tag team this. We just had the men's breakfast yesterday, right? So thank you to all who came out for that. Women's breakfast and Bible study is coming up Saturday, February 4th. Yes? Okay. 9 a.m. Ladies, be here or be square. All right, so make plans to attend and to enjoy. I think we have Jeannie that's teaching, and we'll have a great time of fellowship and encouragement and of food, because breakfast is always a great meal. All right, and then Mark Dunphy. Who said that? Thank you. Mark Dunphy is Thursday. Oh, he's up there, right there. Mark Dunphy, Thursday, February 9th at 7 o'clock. You don't want to miss Mark Dunphy. That man is a powerful man of God. He's funny. Okay, he bring a great word that'll challenge you, and he will minister, and God will use him greatly in our church that night. So make plans to be here, okay? And then I think that's it for right now. Okay, so if there are any children left hanging around that like to go to children's church, Isaiah will help escort them out real quick back to their classes that are in process. Thank you, Isaiah. Way to be ready to serve in a moment's notice. All right. All right. So again, it's good to be with you guys. We're going to take up our tithe and offerings. You got something to give, get it out. Get it ready to give. Get your faith ready to mix with it, with your seed. And I'm just going to go to a familiar passage of Scripture that God had put on my heart this morning just to remind his church about the importance of the tithe. Okay, so in Malachi chapter 3, we're going to go to verse number 10. Says this: bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So, this is, for some of us, maybe a lot of us, a familiar passage of Scripture, but we cannot let it become mundane or kind of normal. Like, it is important that we enter in to the tithe, of giving of a tithe with God. Okay, because right there we see what God wants to do in our lives. And I think each one of us could say, yeah, we could use God doing that in our lives, pouring out the windows of heaven, you know, open up the windows of heaven, pouring out a blessing, rebuking the devourer for our sake. But it does take the faith that when things get tough, things get tight, that we continue to honor God by giving our tithe. It's not always going to be an easy thing to write out that check or to give that online, however you go about your giving, okay? But when we go to do it, we know what we're trusting God with. We're trusting God. We're saying, God, you're a better provider than me, okay? You can bring things about that I can't bring things about. You can protect me from things and my finances and from things that I can't do, okay? So when we give our tithes, this is what God does for us. And so let us be encouraged. Let us be reminded that as we start a new year and as, you know, economy can do whatever it wants to do, God is faithful. God is not moved. And as long as we're faithful and we honor God how we should and not rob him of tithe and also use our faith to give an offering, something over and above, we'll see God continue to do great things for us. And everybody's like, how are those people getting along so well? How are they making it through this challenging time seemingly so easy, even though it's not? But, you know, let us honor God, okay? Let us be reminded to give in faith, to give our tithes and give our offering. Amen? So if you get your tithes and offering ready, and we're going to give them here in just a moment. I'm going to pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your word. God, we're reminded, we are encouraged, God, the importance of honoring you with the tithe, God, and with the offering. God, we don't want to rob you. God, we don't want to keep back from you what we are called and required to give to you. God, let us trust you. Let us open up our hands, open up our hearts, put our faith in you. Put our tithe, God, into the storehouse and see you do great things on our behalf. See you rebuke the devourer. See you open up the windows of heaven and walk in the blessing and the provision that only you can bring about. God, as we give our tithes today, God, we thank you for that. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Stand on your feet and bring your tithes to and offerings to the front. Just graciously reminding me about something very important to us, and that if you have not already picked up your giving, your contribution statements from 2022 for your tax purposes, Philip or Linda will have them after service. Please see them so you can get them. And if you're not able to, or maybe you're not here, but you're hearing it on live stream or whatnot, if they're not picked up today, they will be mailed out tomorrow. Okay, so that you can still receive them in a timely manner. So just keep that in the back of your mind and try to pick them up if you haven't already before you leave, and if not, you'll be getting them in the mail. All right? All right, good deal. Okay, all right. Here we go. Time to get into the Word this morning. It's a beautiful day, as Philip was talking about that whole thing about the power of life and death and the power of your words. That was all about Pastor Gina talking about snow before she left. Well, it did hold off and then showed up to us this morning, but that's okay. We're always thankful for snow. And I know that the kids were already talking about delays and cancellations for tomorrow. They want 9 feet. I don't know. But so we are... thankful, though, that it didn't do it too much and allowed us to be here together. I'm excited to be with you guys. I believe God's got a word for you, so thank you for being here. Thank you for live streaming, if you're out there on live streaming. I know that if you have a prayer request, you can get that in there on live stream. So please do that and engage and interact with us on that platform. So we just love you guys and glad that you're with us in whatever way you can be. So today, beginning of 2000, it's not really the beginning of 2023, this is the fourth Sunday. You know, we are the beginning of 4 weeks into a brand new year. And so, you know, like whenever a new year rolls around, like Thanksgiving and then like a whirlwind of Christmas, and it seems to go by so fast and faster every year, but new year comes and you start to think about New Year's resolutions, or if not that, maybe a goal or maybe a thing that you want to accomplish in 2023, maybe something that might be better or an improvement upon last year. So I think they're working on bringing up something here that I wanted to share with you guys. That I saw this, and I thought that this was funny, okay? And so we got a meme here, I think, that we're going to share. Next one. Okay, this guy, maybe some of you guys have seen this or not, but it's me calling God to make sure I'm registered for the fun and successful package and not the trial and tribulations package for 2023. I saw that and I did exactly what most of you do and I started laughing. I'm like, maybe I need to make that phone call. I need to see if I can get myself registered for that package, and just kind of made me laugh because, you know, but there's some reality to it. Like some things about 2022 were challenging and were difficult. And you're like, hey, maybe not repeat some of those things for the coming year. But, and I'm going to refer back to this actually some throughout our message today, because it's going to take more than just a quick phone call. It's going to take more than just a quick prayer, you know, at the beginning of this year to maybe receive some of the things that you might be believing God for, you might be in prayer for, you might be going through a season that you're maybe ready to be out of, and maybe ready to see the victory and be on the other side of that. But so today, I believe God has given me a word that's going to help us, and including me. I'm preaching to the choir today, so I'm not exempt for this. I'm like, God, you really want me to talk about this? But okay, and it's one simple word called process. The word process. Can you guys say it with me? Can you guys say process? Okay, I like a little bit of, you know, interaction or process. Now, when you think of the word process, that might instantly cause you to twitch a little bit. Might, you know, it may not seem like the most fun, the most exciting word that you hear, okay? But it's a very important word, and it applies to our walk with God. It applies to the church. It applies to the kingdom and our journey of faith. Okay, so today I want to give you a scripture starting off with. We can turn in our Bibles, whether they're paper or electronic, however you have your word. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 31. And we're going to begin to talk about process today. Okay, and we're going to see what God does. So Matthew 6, 31, and we're going to go down through 34. It says this, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Okay, so we're talking about process, and we just read a scripture about God challenging us. This is Jesus, you know, teaching, and he's telling us to not worry about some of these everyday needs, everyday things, whether it could be a financial need, whether it could be a relationship challenge, whether it could be something at work, something at home, you know, if your parents, you know, with kids, just any number of things across the board, okay? You know, he's using an example about clothes and about food. And these are things that sometimes we can let consume us. We can let take up too much space and our minds and our hearts, and we begin to worry about them, and we begin to fret about them, and we begin to just, you know, get more of a focus on the daily things of life than what we do about the kingdom of God. Okay, and so Jesus is calling us back here to seek first his kingdom. Okay, so how do we really do that? To be able to, that all these things are going to be added unto us. That's a promise that he made. But we get there through this word called process. Okay, so the definition of process is a series of actions or operations conducing to an end. Also, to subject or to a special process or treatment. Okay, so most of the time, process is something that we rarely enjoy, and we don't always put as much value on it as what we should. Okay? And sometimes we can even complain or grumble through a process. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. This is taking too long. When's this going to be over? How long is this going to last? Does it really have to be this hard? Do I really have to do that? Okay, we get caught up grumbling, complaining through a process, okay? So too often we try to circumvent going through process. But church, today we're being challenged that we have to enjoy, we want to enjoy the end result, but we don't like to do what it takes to get there. Okay, so let's think of some examples about what, about process. How about like eating healthy and exercise? That's like always big things as you begin a new year, you know, diet plans, exercise equipment, this goal, that goal. What does it take to truly like eat healthy and to exercise and to maybe to do some of those things if those things are on your radar to accomplish? Some of us, they may not be. That's fine. You know, this is just an example here. Okay, but it takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of daily decision-making, a lot of choices every day to stay on that path, to stay on that journey of eating healthy and exercising. Let's think of some other things that are examples of process. A delicious home-cooked meal. You know, you're like, yeah, we love the end result of that, right? We love eating that home-cooked meal. Now, I can tell you, as a parent, and all of you have been parents or grandparents or whatnot, when your kids come home from school or come home from whatever they're doing, whether it's a sports activity or whatnot, when they come home, they're ready to eat. And they're ready to eat like 5 minutes ago. And you're like, hold on, I'm cooking dinner. And no, they don't want to hold on. You know, we want it now. We want the good stuff now. So sometimes they'll settle for a less quality meal or food just to shove something down their throat. The thing that they're going to fill their bellies, which they're not going to fill them as well. It's going to be more temporary. And opposed to that home-cooked meal, let me finish cooking you, you know, meat and potatoes and vegetables. We're not going to just shove, like, you know, an oatmeal cream pie down your throat real quick and you think you're going to be good to go. Okay, so many times I remember as a kid not waiting. I didn't want to wait a half hour for mom to finish dinner. I wanted it now. So eventually I had to, instead of getting in trouble because I was asking too many questions, I have to figure out a way to occupy myself to pass the time by, you know, and then, oh, and hey, time to eat. Hey, that's great. Okay. So another one might be maybe a home renovation project. Yeah. Those things cause a lot of challenges to our walk, don't they? It's taking too long. I don't like that color anymore. You know, I want to change this now. Okay. The husbands and the wives are, you know, maybe not looking at each other right now because... Yeah, I know we just got through and are still going through one of these ourselves, okay? So I feel the pain of this, but we love the end result. We love when it's finished and we have our new kitchen and we have our, you know, freshly painted room or we have our new flooring. But man, is it frustrating when you're going through the weeks of taking stuff down, moving stuff out, tearing stuff up, trying to live in a home that's half torn apart. That's difficult. That's challenging. But there's a process. You're never going to get to that beautiful Pinterest DIY, you know, DIY, whatever, you know, version of what you want your home or this room to be until you go through this process. I'm sorry. I love Chip and Joanna Gaines. I love, you know, Fixer Upper, but man, it don't happen in no half hour, 45 minutes. You know, that's weeks. You know, it's not, you know, just demo day and everything's cleaned out and ready to put back in. You know, it's a long process. All right, so we can all relate to some of those things. You know, another one might be getting a paycheck. We love getting our paychecks, the direct deposit. I don't think anybody really gets paper checks anymore. Maybe, but... trust me, I'm a business manager. You know, I run payroll, and everybody's happy when they get paychecks. But I'm telling you what, I hear about it. If something don't come in right, you know, because and everybody deserves, they're worthy of their hire. Okay, but and we love, you know, getting that paycheck, and we love being able to do things with our money and accomplish financial goals, but we got to go to work. But most of the time, we might be grumbling, complaining, drudging through the entire process of what it takes to get to that paycheck, right? I mean, I've been there. I've lived that life, and there are days where we all, some of us might really like our jobs, okay? But there are still days where it's like, man, I don't know if this paycheck is worth all that, right? But in the end, you know, when we get it, we're like, oh, thank God I still showed up to work. Thank God I still worked all those hours, and now I'm getting this paycheck, and now I can accomplish this. I can pay this bill. I can do what I need to do with it, right? You know, so these are just some examples to get our minds going about these kind of natural things about process. Now, there is one example that was actually the inspiration to me for this message. Now, it is winter outside, in case you weren't aware. It's snowing. It's cold. It's 30 degrees. We all have the heat on in our homes, hopefully, okay? And most of us have electric heat or propane heat. Well, we live out in the country, and we had an electric furnace when we moved in the house that was outrageously expensive to try to run heat our home with. So we did all this different stuff, looked around, shopped all the different options of heating, and we settled on a wood-burning stove. Now, most people, whenever they hear that, they're like, man, that's fantastic heat. That's warm. That's cozy. That fire looks nice. Okay, but then right after that, I don't really want to go through the process of doing everything that it takes to get to that nice, cozy, warm fire inside your home. Okay, because there is a major process that goes along with heating your home with wood. And so I got some pictures here. I got some examples of, because you know what? The queen of my house, Miss Linda over there, she loves of her fire. She loves her warm heat. And she loves enjoying it, you know, and she loves sending me and her seven boys, well, she don't send all of them, out to make sure that we have what we need to get that heat the way that she wants it. Now, I will give her some credit. She's not afraid to go out and gather an armful of wood. She's not afraid to put wood in that wood-burning stove, okay? Otherwise, it'd be difficult to have this. But you guys see this right here. This is our actual wood-burning stove. That's a nice-looking fire right there, you know? That's just comforting, that's cozy, that's warm. And you know what? That can heat our 2,000-square-foot home, and it is amazing the job that it can actually do. Now, that right there, that's what we like, that end result. You know, we get to enjoy that. That gets to provide warmth and heat for our home. But there's a major process that goes through that. Like, we start with this right here. And I think that's actually me up there in that thing. I overcome fear. That was a walk or a journey of faith to get up in that thing with a chainsaw and up into that tree and start cutting some branches down. So with that beautiful fire we just saw, it starts with this right here, okay? And then it goes on to the next thing. Well, we're still cutting down stuff, okay? More stuff that we're cutting down. Okay, oh, we have live actual footage. Okay, brace yourselves for impact, because, you hear the chainsaw running. Oh, there it goes. Yeah, I was shaking like this, holding that chainsaw. I'm like, brace yourself, don't fall. Okay, now, like, for certain people, they don't care, but, you know, heights are fine. You know, they can do whatever they want to do up there in heights, but that was overcoming some major fear. I'm like, trying not, you know. So, but I did that. And we can keep going. I don't know what the next thing is. How many of these do you got, Linda? Okay, the tree's down. Yeah, this is the whole process, man. Okay, because then after you get the tree down, then you got to still keep cutting it up. Now we see wood stacked in there. Okay, and in between that last picture where you see a tree down, and all that tree's got to be cut up. And then after you get logs, and you got to split it with a log splitter. And then thankfully, you know, I do have a log splitter now, but for years I split it with a maul, split it with an axe. And that's hard work. That takes time. Okay? Now, that gives you exercise in the winter. And that warms you up while you're doing it. Okay? But to get to this takes all that process. Now, I love this example because this is what we want our hearts to be towards Jesus. We want to be on fire for him, right? We want to be burning. We want to be set ablaze in our walk with him and in our hearts. We're fervent, we're zealous, and we're passionate in our walk with God. And we want it to look like this all the time. But all the things that we saw leading up to this also applies daily in our process with God, in our routine, in our relationship with him. It can't just be this. You know, we want it to be this all the time, but it takes all the other things that we just saw. So, process takes three things. If you're writing notes, jot these down, okay? So, number one, it takes patience. That the picture of that day, we were there from like 9 o'clock in the morning to like 8 o'clock at night, and I had to take one picture out because I didn't know if everybody was up for seeing anything. I even actually ran a chainsaw across my leg right here and cut it open pretty good. Okay, I still got scars, and Seth's like, that needs to go away if he sees me in shorts. But it takes patience. And you know what? We had to go down several more times after that to continue to split wood, continue to pick wood up, continue to bring it back to my house. When I get to my house, I got to split it down further, and I got to bring it into the house. I got to take time to start a fire. Sometimes it takes a little bit to warm the house up. Okay, going wherever you're at with God, wherever you're at in your relationship with Him, wherever you're at in your walk with Him, and whatever unique and individual circumstances that you're going through, to get to where you want to go, it's going to take process, and process takes these three things. It takes patience. That's going to take some time. Again, going back to that delicious home-cooked meal that we like, okay? We're not going to microwave God's end result. That's not a microwavable bag of popcorn that takes a minute and a half, okay? God's doing some things that are important, but it takes time. Process takes patience. It takes consistency. Got to show up every day, okay? We can't take days off. We take days off, we set ourselves back. If you're trying to eat a healthy lifestyle, you take days off. Okay, every now and then you can have like a cheat day or whatnot. But still, I mean, that's just probably more for you mentally. You know, like it's going to set you back in your process still. Okay? And so we need patience, we need consistency, and we need vision. The Bible says without vision, the people perish. We got to see the end result. We got to know that God is faithful. We got to trust that. Okay? We got to be patient. Okay, we got to be consistent, but we also got to have vision that this is where we're going to end up. Okay, because you can't just be wandering, winding around aimlessly. You're never going to get to somewhere. Okay, you put a destination in your GPS, it's taking you the quickest route to get you there. Okay, I did this a couple of weeks ago. We were coming home from a basketball game, and I put it in there. I thought it was going to take me a quick route home, and I felt like it played a trick on me and took the longest possible route that it could find. All the winds, all the curves, all the backcountry roads. I'm like, what is going on here? Okay. But to stay, you know, consistent in process and patient in process, we got to keep that vision in front of us. Okay. So let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 1. I'm pulling out all the fun verses this morning. James chapter 1. There it is, James 1. Okay, verses 2 through 4. And it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We all like that last sentence, that we can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's where we want to be. We want to be strong in the Lord. We want to be on fire for Him, our hearts ablaze. We want to be walking with God, okay, and seeing victory and seeing breakthrough, being used of Him. Okay, as a Christian, those should be things that you truly desire and that you are truly going after, okay? But we see that it's going to, you know, we find ourselves in trials, temptations, tribulations, challenges, even things that we're like, what is going on here? I didn't do anything to deserve that. Like, why is that person treating me like that? Okay, you know, I was walking with my oldest son, who is the student body president. He's in student government. And all of a sudden, some things came up where some people were acting like, you know, he wasn't doing his job or like he was, you know, being accused of not doing certain things right and well. And he's like, what's that all about? So we had to walk through that process to get, you know, the desired end result and to do it in a godly way. And eventually, he saw, you know, peace, he saw a breakthrough, he saw a resolution, but it took going through that process with joy. Okay, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what the Bible tells us. Can anybody give me a big smile right now? Okay? Okay, it's not all about just being fake happy all the time, but it's a quiet, it's a true inner joy that, hey, I know I'm right where God wants me to be because I'm going through this situation with joy, and I'm going to let, you know, patience have its perfect work. That's why I said that in process we need patience, because we need to let it have its work, okay? We need to be persevering or diligent, consistent every day, okay? So God is found in the process. We want to be closer to God. We want to be doing great things for God. We want to be growing. God is found in the process. He's not all found, you know, on the other side of process or just victories and breakthroughs and mountaintops. God is in the valley. God is in the process. He's in the routine. He's in every day. Okay? God doesn't want you just to show up for church and talk to him. He wants every day. Okay? And some of this thing seems more basic, seems more elementary, if you will, or routine, but these are things that God is calling us back to ensure we're doing these things. That way we can be at a deeper place and going forward stronger with him this year than what we ever have before. Okay, this is what it takes. You know, my boys, the older four, play basketball, okay? And I enjoy watching them play basketball. I love it. You know, and I enjoy seeing them to see where they're at now. But I saw them whenever they first started. I saw them when they can barely dribble a basketball. I saw them where they could barely shoot one. I saw them where they had no idea what to do, no concept of the game, okay? And it took years of work and of patience and of being diligent and having a vision of where they wanted to be. I always would tell my oldest son especially, like, you know, before a game, hey, play how you always want to play. What's the vision of the player that you want to be? What you want to accomplish on that court? And you need to start working towards playing like that. You can't just be like, oh, I don't know, I guess whatever happens, happens. But, you know, hey, no. What's your role? What's your position? What's your job? What's expected of you? Okay, and we see great players. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, some of these new ones. I know Philip just bowed his head in disgrace, but but you know, you take somebody like Kobe or Michael. These guys will tell stories of what kind of work they put in. These guys are professional athletes. They're at the top of their game. They're the most revered, you know, guys in this game of basketball. Millions of dollars, endorsements, they got it. They could just cruise. But you know what? They still had this inner drive where every day they'd be up early, they'd stay late, they'd go through however many amounts of shots, however many amounts of working out, okay? And so just because they're at, like, the people that you see strongest in their faith, most, quote, you know, I don't know if I really want to use the word successful, but you see these men, women of God doing great things for him is because they're doing the routine process things at a high level consistently every day. Just like the great sports athletes and everything else like that, you can't take shortcuts, you can't cut corners. This is what we have to do, okay? So God is found in the process. That's where he's at. Now, routine process things spiritually are, number one, prayer. So I got five things here, so if you want to write them down, you can. But every day, prayer, praying in the spirit, praying over situations, things that you're dealing with, just talking with God. You got to have communication with your Heavenly Father. So prayer. Number two is reading the Word. We got to stay grounded in the Word of God. Everything comes back to the Word. What we pray, okay, you know, what we're doing, where we're going, reading the Word of God. Praise. God deserves our praise. We love God. If we're thankful to God and we're praising God, that's going to help patience. That's going to help, you know, consistency. That's going to help everything. Praise. Okay? So we need prayer. We need to read the Word. We need praise. Coming to church. Being in the house. Being connected. Serving. Okay? Using the God-given gifts you have. Those kind of things. Okay? And last one is obedience and what God has called you to. Some of us find ourselves in places we didn't necessarily want to be in, but we're there. Now, God's calling you to walk through that situation in a certain way. He's not giving you a timetable. He's not giving you an end date. But he's giving you the promise of victory and breakthrough and overcoming as long as we continue to do what we're supposed to do. Okay? So we submit the process. It will keep our hearts on fire, and it will bring the results that we want. So let's look back at that last process of obedience, what God has called us to do. Okay. Each one of us has something that we might be dealing with. Now, I just talked about like prayer, reading the word, praise, coming to church, obedience. Those are things that apply to all of us. But each one of us, if we would look closely, we would see that we're going through something different. Some of us have been in a season that's lasted a long time. And we're like, man, this thing seems like it's going on forever. It might not just be a day or a week or a month, years maybe, that we're believing God for, that we're asking God about, that we're praying about. And sometimes you can get weary, and that's that happens to everybody, okay? And some of you may just started a process, and you're already ready for it to be over, okay? We could be in it for a long time. We could be in it for a little bit of time. We could have just started something. And each one of them could be any number of things. It could be a financial challenge. It could be a relationship issue. It could just be believing that God has called us to do something and wanting to get to that point and being able to do that. But we have to go through the process of maturity and preparation to get there for God to be able to promote us and to send us out. We can't shortchange those things. Okay, so I'm challenging this just to be encouraged that we're all there and God has the end. We just have to continue to trust him and walk with him through it, through that process. Amen? So let's look at Deuteronomy. This is a couple more passages of scriptures here. I just want to give you a couple examples out of the Word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, we're looking at Moses. And, man, Moses and the Israelites had just come through a long process. I think, if I understand it correctly, it was over a year, going through the 10 plagues, finally being released from the mighty hand of Pharaoh, you know, seeing God do victory after victory, miracle after miracle, breakthrough after breakthrough, seeing God be faithful and releasing Israel from the most powerful nation in all the world, and then giving them a promise of a promised land, of blessing that's flowing with milk and honey, that has everything that they would need to set up a nation, to set up a place for God to say, this is my people, world, see who I am, you know. And he had plans. He had things that he was going to do for the nation of Israel. And he'd already done so much. But man, sometimes we go through a process like that, we can begin to take some things for granted, or we can get our focus off, and we can start to grumble and complain, and some things happen that shouldn't happen, where we stop up and we hold up the hand of God for moving on our behalf. Because we're not going through the process in the right way. We want to get off the process where we might be tired of it. We want to quit. We might want to lay down. We might want to say, okay, God, I'm done with this. And that's, you know. So we look at Moses and the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 1, 32, and it says, all the things that God has done, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go, in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give you, to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, I think. He shall see it, and to him and his children I am giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. The Lord was also angry with me for your sake, saying, even you shall not go in there. Okay, I've seen kind of maps and everything. It was about, I think, an 11-day journey, something like that, from where they were at, delivered out of the hand of Pharaoh into the promised land. Should have taken 2 weeks, maybe. And because of, in that short 2-week time frame, they begin to grumble, complain, murmur, doubt, disobey, and disbelieve God. It don't take long. And all of a sudden, your generation is not going in, including you, Moses, except for Caleb and Joshua, because they held fast to the promise of God. They didn't grumble or complain. They believed God, said, let's go in there. Because you know what? Even though hey, I brought you through all this. I just got this one last thing here. There's some giants in the land. There's some people in the land that need to be driven out. I've done all this for you. I'm going to keep doing it. Let's just finish this thing. And they got tired of going through the process. And therefore, they didn't get to receive what God had for them in the end. They had to wait for that whole generation to die out before the new one can go in, except for the two guys that stayed faithful the whole time. Okay? So unbelief and complaining will hinder process, and it will never produce the results you actually want. Sometimes it may make us feel good. We complain about this, we complain about that, but it's never going to produce God-ordained blessing and results, okay? So we got to watch ourselves in that. Now, the last passage of Scripture is Galatians chapter 1. Turn there with me real quick. Galatians chapter 1. We're going to go to the New Testament, get an example out of there from the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul, we know, was a great man of God, probably the greatest missionary, or one of. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. God used him to do some incredible things. The letters to the churches that we study today as the authoritative word of God, okay, establishing churches, spreading the gospel throughout most of the known world. Okay, God used him to do some incredible things. Now, if we know the backstory about Paul, who was Saul, okay, he also had one of the coolest, most dramatic conversions to faith in Christ and in the whole Bible. And maybe of all time, I don't know. I don't think that they're ranked anywhere on a list. But, you know, the Apostle Paul, man, knocked off by Jesus himself, knocked down, blinded, came right to him, was converted, healed, okay? He was blinded, then he was healed, and radically converted to faith in Jesus, who just a moment before was on his way to persecute the very same people, to throw them in jail, watched over the martyrdom of Stephen, okay? And it's like, man, God changed this guy in a moment of time. That's incredible. And then Paul went off and he spread the gospel throughout the world and wrote books of the Bible. No, actually not. There was a space of time in between there. This little thing we're talking about today called process that God had to take him through to be prepared to go out to do those things. So we read in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, says this, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. 3 years that Paul didn't go, and everybody has a different process. This is the way God took Paul. He took him and separated him, and he took 3 years to study, to show himself approved, to pray, to seek God, study the word, to receive revelation, and to be prepared. Then after 3 years, he went and saw the authority, the leadership in the church at that time, and then to be sent out. Okay, most time we like to think about all the stuff Paul did, but I don't think we talk enough about that time frame. And no, it's just very briefly mentioned. I mean, can you imagine what 3 years is like? You know, 3 years seems like a long time when we're waiting. Okay, God, is it time for me to go? Is it time for me to be released? Is it time for me to move on? Is it time? Apostle Paul had to be there. If he wouldn't have went through that time frame, he wouldn't have been ready to do all the things that he accomplished. He didn't just go out and start preaching. He had to study and receive revelation. He had to prove himself. He had to mature. Okay, so my questions for you this morning, church, are where are you at and where do you want to be? We have to go through process and do what it takes. Okay? Just like we see with Moses, just like we, you know, and the few guys that got to go into the promised land, just like we see with the Apostle Paul, just like we saw from our examples of wanting to get that nice wood-burning stove, that nice fire, that nice heat, what it takes to get to that. We have to do those things, praying, reading the word, coming to church, praising, obedience. We have to be patient. We have to stay consistent. We have to have vision. Okay, so I just want to really challenge us and encourage us at the same time. It's a new year, it's a new season, and it's time for us to get that vision and time for us to see where God wants us to be and to begin to do what it takes each day to get there. So I want you guys to just take a quick moment here. I'm going to close this up here in a second. I'm going to pray over a few prayer requests that I actually got even before church. But if there's any that were in live stream, we can pray over those as well. But, so where are we at right now, and where do we want to be? And what are we going to do about it? What process are we going to actually try to make sure that we're going through to get us that end result? So, I'm going to close this in prayer here, and we're going to pray over these messages, or over these prayer requests. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time in your word. I thank you, God, for what we learned this morning, God. What we saw, God, and what we heard, that, God, you're found in the process. God, you know, we love the victory. We love overcoming. We love the results. And I know you love giving them to us. But you love just being with us every day in prayer, in word, praising you, obeying you. You love just being with us here at church. God, and you are definitely taking us somewhere. You are faithful to complete the good work that you started in us. God, help us to be faithful, to go through that process and to trust you and to love you and to lean on you, Holy Spirit, and to be obedient to you and to be patient and to be consistent and to continue to have the vision set before us of what you've called us to do, what you have promised us. God, let us not lose faith. Let us not lose heart. Let us hold fast, God, and continue to trust you, God. God, I just pray that you'd encourage us this morning, fill us with joy, give us strength. God, give us peace and wisdom, God, as we go forward. God, I thank you for that. And I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church, we're going to join our faith together. We have a prayer request from two different candies, Candy Dre. Okay, and we just need to pray for her. She got some family who have some health challenges. She's been with them, so while she's away and with them, that she's strong and that we see healing for her family. So, Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for Candy Dre. God, we lift her up. We pray you give her strength. We pray you'd encourage her, build her up in her faith, God, and even as she is, you know, maybe not be able to be present with us here, God, but you would be with her. God, and we thank you for healing in her family member. God, we pray for restoration of health. And God, for a miracle of healing and breakthrough. God, we thank you for that. Well, God, we lift up Candy Keller to you, God, who's been dealing with some sickness, God. God, we bind sickness in the name of Jesus. We take authority over it. We rebuke it. We command it to go in Jesus' name. We thank you that her body is completely healthy. Her health is completely restored. And she is strengthened and renewed in you. God, we thank you for that. We give you praise. God, in Jesus' name. Okay, so we got Jeannie Tucker, Braden, Haley, Phil, all dealing with sickness. So let's join our faith, church, God, and we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are a healing God. God, you didn't leave your ability to heal, you know, back 2,000 years ago. God, you can heal today, God, and you can renew and restore, God, and you can set free of sickness and disease. So we just bind that sickness and disease over these folks, God. We command, God, the healing power of God to flow through them in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for breakthrough. God, instantly, God, these symptoms would disappear, God. And that breakthrough and healing would come to them in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. All right, church. Thank you so much for being here today. Be encouraged in your faith. Let's go through process. Amen. And have some joy while we do it. We thank God for his faithfulness. And thank you for your faithfulness. And we'll see you on Thursday. We got Brother Jason bringing the word strong. So we'll see you guys then. Have a blessed week and be safe. Fire up.
Jireh, you are known. Jireh.